Welcome to Life Sciences and Science Life, a science podcast of the University of Vienna's Doctoral School of Pharmaceutical, Nutritional and Sport Sciences.
Our team of PhD candidates, along with various experts in the field, talk about current advances in science while exploring the challenges and triumphs of PhD life.
Welcome to this episode. I'm your host, Agnes. Today, we will talk about immigration seen and unforeseen. So our PhD students in this doc school are from all over the world. Today, we have three PhD students here who come from different countries. Thanks for joining us today. And please tell us where you're from and which department you work at.
Hi, I'm Lan. I'm from Vietnam and I'm currently in the Department of Pharmaceutical Chemistry.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm your usual host, but today I'm a guest. I come from Mexico and I work at the Pharmacognosy department.
Hey guys, I'm Andrea. I'm also from Mexico. And as Lan, I also work in the Pharmaceutical Chemistry department.
So for people who have experience in immigrating, those people know that it can be a challenge. But for others who did not experience this, maybe they would like to know more about your experience. So what would you say were the difficulties before moving to Vienna?
Well, I would say language, of course, because whenever you move to a new country, to other countries, then the language is one of the most important thing, the first thing that you would think of. And I did too. And so I actually planned to take some German courses before coming to Vienna, where they speak German. Apparently, yeah. And finally, I managed to really take the course when I came here for like 1 month or so.
I actually, besides the language, which was actually really hard for me as well, because German is really hard for a Spanish-speaking person, was to say goodbye to my parents and my family in Mexico. Like, the final goodbye was really, really, I would say, dramatic, because I just had a ticket one way, not round trip. And I always book tickets round trip, but it was the first time I booked a ticket one way. And it was really, really hard to say goodbye to my parents and not knowing when I'm going to see them again. So I think what I would have done differently is to spend a little bit more time before moving to Vienna with them. But now I see them frequently, so it's okay. At least we talk every month, and yeah.
I would say, to compliment what Lan said, you did not expect so many things in the lab to be in German. I mean, you know that you're doing a PhD in English, so you expect more things to be in English, from the doctoral papers that you have to deliver, I don't know, like the chemistry reagents that you find in the lab, and sometimes everything is in German, and then of course you have to learn, and we are very willing to learn. It's just that at the beginning it can be a little bit overwhelming, and there's a certain level that you actually have to reach to be able to do something. So for example, if you're gonna get your department registered and where you live, or go ask for your visa or for a resident permit or whatever, then it can be very tricky, because sometimes also people in the official offices do not want to talk to you in English. So my suggestion there would also be to just take a friend along with you who is a fluent German speaker and who can help you, because that removes a lot of the stress from those situations that you will anyways have, because it's anyways stressful to go and ask for a visa.
So have you, one of you guys, lived before you moved to Austria in different other countries than your home country, your native country? Or Lan, what about you?
For me, yes. Actually, I did my master degree in South Korea for 2 years. And that was the first time that I was abroad. And so the gap, the difference is much more profound there. But then I get used to living abroad, living far away from my hometown. And then when I came to Vienna, it was a little bit better, easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Sarah, what is your experience?
Actually, I left Mexico around 10 years ago when I moved to the United States, where I did a year of my bachelor's. Then I moved to France, and then I moved to Vienna. So I've been around a little bit are a little bit longer, I would say. But I love Vienna. Like, I think I found my place here.
That sounds really nice. So when you compare all those places where you lived, what are the cultural differences and why do you prefer Vienna as a place for living?
Well, actually, there are not a lot of differences. I mean, definitely in Europe-wise, it's a little bit more similar. So France and Vienna were a little bit similar than in the United States, which is more similar to Mexico, I would say. But cultural differences, in Mexico, people are really, really friendly. And I sometimes go around the street and say good morning to strangers. And that's not really common here in Vienna or in Europe. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a little bit harder to incorporate my life with Austrian culture because Austrians are not as open as to new people as maybe Mexicans are. So it's a little bit tougher to make friends here in Austria. But other than that, I would say Western countries are like they have pretty much similar experiences, like living situations. I don't know, Andrea, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. With me, what worked out was that I really like to be kind to the people with whom I interact, even if I don't know them. So I started realizing that if I was kind not only with my words, but also with my face expressions, like smiling to people and just saying like good afternoon or whatever, they would also get immediately friendlier. So that's my suggestion, to don't be scared to be yourself. And if you feel like smiling, do so. And if you feel like saying good morning, just say so. Because yeah, there may be a couple people that will not think too much of it. But there are also some people who are actually really going to value it and be extremely kind to you, which is super nice.
Mm-hmm. What about the weather? It must be so different to your home countries. So Lan, for example.
I think it's much drier here compared to in Vietnam. And so I really had a problem when I first came here because I arrived at like, I think at the beginning of October or so, when the weather is getting drier and drier in the winter. Mm-hmm. And so I got itchy all over my body.
Oh, no.
And I was so nervous. And I was thinking, what happened? What's wrong? But then at the end, I just talked with my friend here and he said that maybe it's just the weather and you just need to apply more moisturizer. So,
and yeah. Did this help?
Yeah, it helps. And I also think that my body actually adapts to the dryness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. My hair, for instance, had some problems because I'm from a humid place, as I guess you, Len.
Yeah.
So I come from the Caribbean and it's really humid over there. So I also got really itchy in my skin and my hair had some problems that needed to be solved at the beginning. But now I'm like, I guess I'm used to it.
To me, I was so happy with the winters because they are so cold and I really don't like the warm weather. But at the same time, I didn't realize that I was going to get so depressed during the winters.
That's
so true. At the beginning, I didn't understand what was going on. And then a friend told me, are you taking vitamin D? And I was like, what is that for? And then I realized that I did need it. So I started taking it and then things got better.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I did not expect was the summers to be quite as warm as they are.
Yes.
But the nice thing is that another friend also told me, oh yeah, but you're using your windows in the wrong way. And I was like, is there a proper way to use windows then? And then he suggested to keep them closed during the day and just open them during the night so the fresh air comes in. But since windows are really well isolating here, then you don't get that much warmth coming in if they are closed.
Yeah.
And that has worked so well for me. And I'm so thankful that he told me that.
So what are some things that seem obvious now for you guys, but that did you not foresee before moving to Vienna? Andrea?
Well, I do get a lot of FOMO. So for example, lately my siblings have been getting together quite a lot and they organize these video game evenings or nights. And I feel like I'm missing out. And sometimes it's really hard because I really want to be there. But then you really feel like you're no longer part of the family, even if you are. And it's not that they do anything wrong. It's just that you are far away, so it's difficult. So I try to stay in contact with my family and my friends as much as I can. It is hard, yes, but it's also, I think, very fair to tell them, hey, I am feeling this way. And then, of course, they care about you, so they will try to also accommodate you and to be nice to you and to be inclusive with you. And that also helps.
So how many times do you manage to go home to Mexico and visit your family or
friends? Last year was an exception. I went twice, but mm-hmm. I usually only go through the winter because Christmas is really important for my family.
Yeah. And Sarah?
I think I also have the fear of missing out a lot. I miss weddings, I miss baptisms, I miss a lot of different holidays, like Day of the Dead, which is really important in my culture, and I miss it. And this is really hard for me emotionally, because you see my parents, my family, all of them eating the same food and celebrating certain cultural experiences that I don't have and I cannot have here in Vienna. I try as much as I can to be part of it. Like I make, for instance, for Day of the Dead, I make my own altar at home mm-hmm. and I keep it very like alive throughout the year. But there are some other parts of the culture. I mean, I miss the food a lot, and I didn't foresee that I will miss the food that much, because I don't know about you, Andrea, but the food is really important in Mexico, and it's really, like, it's not just about food. It's about a whole experience that you have. It's about being with your family.
It's a social experience.
Exactly.
As well.
It's a social experience. It's a family experience. And I miss having my family dinners on Sundays with all my relatives and so on and so forth. Like for Day of Mother's Day, you go and have lunch with all like your abuelitas, your grandmothers, your mother, everyone goes mm-hmm. there. So it's really a big event and you miss that a lot. So as Andrea said, a lot of FOMO is really part of it. Also my friends, like they have important games like soccer games or softball games, and I cannot attend to that either, so they have to tell me I won or I lost. And it's
one thing that I did not foresee was that there are foods that you can only have at a certain time of year.
Yes.
So if you want pozole, then you should be around for September. Of course you can have it in December, but it's not quite the same. But if you want the Day of the Dead bread, then that's only around in November. And if you're not there in November, then you're not going to get it. Yeah. And there are so many foods that are specific for a certain time of the year.
Yes.
So if I'm only visiting on December, I am missing on so many things.
Yeah,
and I miss them.
I wanted to ask you, Lan, because you're from Vietnam, and I wanted to ask about the food and the differences to Viennese food. And are you trying to reach out to other expats from Vietnam here in Vienna as well?
Oh, yeah. I really missed my food, the food back home so much that before even when, even though I was outside abroad for some years, but then I don't know why now it hit so bad that that I really have to find someone to go with me to like a Vietnamese restaurant or just to cook together so it's some Vietnamese food. And I do have that group of friends, and we gathered from time to time, and it was really healing.
I can imagine. So what would you recommend to other PhD students who are moving to Vienna? What are the good things about Vienna, and what would you recommend them to prepare before they move?
Well, I would say that there are so many good things about moving to Vienna. I know that we have said like everything that is difficult, but it's not that we are complaining at all.
Yeah,
we're so thankful.
Yeah.
There's just some difficulties that we found along the way. I would say the best thing for me is the life quality and the safety. In Mexico, I could never be able to take the metro at 4 a.m. and then go by myself home because the metro is not even open. But anyways, being in the streets at night alone as a woman, I would never ever dare doing such a thing in Mexico. And here it's completely normal. I have done it so frequently and it's perfectly fine. So I really appreciate that.
For me, I think I like the most here, that is the fact that we go hiking mm-hmm. a lot here. And we also have a lot of facilities and all the conditions that facilitate that. And also about this, the people's spirit, they are really sporty and mm-hmm. and trying to emerge into the nature very much. And I really like that.
So have you visited actually other parts of Austria than Vienna during your time as a PhD student?
Yes, I've been not around a lot, but I do bike tours with my mm-hmm. partner. We go around Burgenland, and we've been to St. Pölten biking and so on. We bike to Bratislava mm-hmm. often. So I know a little bit around, and I've traveled by train to Innsbruck, which is my favorite city of Austria, mm-hmm. by the way. It's so pretty. Like it's out of a postal Christmas picture. Innsbruck is so pretty. And Salzburg as well. So that's also really, really nice.
Yeah, I think my favorite was Graz. I went mm-hmm. there for my birthday this year, and it was so pretty. I don't know if it was a combination of the weather being super nice that day or that I had so much fun. I mean, I took this giant slide through the mountain that I found so cool. The town is so pretty. I don't know. It's such a breathtaking look. I think in Mexico, since I was living in Mexico City, I am used to a big city with lots of pollution and cars and buildings. And this feels a little bit, like Sarah said, as a Christmas card fantasy, and it's so nice.
Yeah, for me, I like the area near Salzburg, but like the area of all the lakes, Hallstatt or Wolfgangsee and stuff like that. It's awesome. It looks like in a dream.
Yeah. So when you think about making new friends here in Vienna, so do you mingle more with international students or people, or do you mix with Austrians as well? So
I would say at the beginning, it was whatever came easier. So I was very intentional about taking German courses physically, not online, because I wanted to expand my circle. But very fortunately, I found lessons with a Spanish speaker teacher. And then, of course, the Latino community is very strong in there. So I was bound to make some Latino friends. It's just natural. But otherwise, for example, in the lab, there was this one girl with whom I really tagged along really fast. And it was weird because to me, it was very clear from 2 weeks on that we were going to be super best friends. And it took me, I would say, some time to convince her to be my friend, which now I understand. It's like, this is normal. Maybe I am a little bit too friendly.
Do you have any tips for that?
I would say just keep trying, just keep showing around, keep showing them how much to share and how much there is to win by being their friends. Because with this girl, we joked a lot and we played a lot and so on. And then eventually she was like, she could be a good friend. And I was like, yes, this is what I've been saying for 2 months now.
I have a lot of international friends. I'm fortunate that I have a lot of international colleagues, which are my friends, because we're really close. So we do a lot of activities together. Outside, I also have some Latino friends from the Mexican community and the Colombian community, which is really big in Austria. It was not... Like, I guess it's not easy to make friends. It's easier to make acquaintances. But the friends that I made here in Vienna are definitely some of the most, of the nicest people around. Yes. So, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For me, I also have mostly international friends, mm-hmm. My lab mates, actually. And we are pretty close together. And I'm really glad about that. And we basically go together to some nice places to have some fun, or we also just share some cozy dinner together, or share some difficulties for the immigration life, and that's pretty great. Yeah.
So when you would sum it up for international students when they come to Vienna for their PhDs or whatever they want to study, do you recommend them to have some language skills, or is it fine with English? So can you do your everyday life with English?
definitely, definitely learn German. Definitely try as hard as you can and do it the best that you can. Your German doesn't have to be perfect. People will try to figure out what you're saying. If they do speak English, they will try to switch to English. And you can also tell them, hey, I want to practice. I haven't found anyone who is not patient enough to not practice with me. I think people have been very, very understanding. So try your best. I know it can be very intimidating and it can be a bit overwhelming sometimes, but it's really worth it because that's the way in which you really get integrated into the culture, into with the people, you really make more friends and so on.
Yeah, it makes your life easier, definitely.
Yep.
Thank you guys for this very interesting interview and also your sharing your insights about your life here in Vienna and how you experienced the change of countries and the new cultures. Yeah, see you next time.
Thank you for having us,
Agnes. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Life Sciences and Science Life. We are your hosts, Sarah
and Agnes. Tune in next month for more intriguing science topics, relatable PhD experiences, and experts' contributions on how to navigate the career path of a young scientist.
This was the last episode of the season.
Thanks for joining us. This is a podcast of the University of Vienna's Doctoral School of Pharmaceutical, Nutritional, and Sports Sciences.
Don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn.
Thank you for listening. See you next time.